I thought they were making noise with their mics, and I looked down and my mic fell off. So thank you. That was wonderful. And I hope you can say, in all sincerity, that it is well with your soul. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, a verse that most of us don't need to even turn to because we know what it says, and which tells us that we should study to show ourselves approved. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I suppose if there's one aspect of our ministry over the years that I found somewhat surprising is the fact that people will come back and say, you know, I learned to read my Bible at Faith Baptist Church. And I thought to myself, you know, well, I thought that was a given for all Christians, but apparently that's something that new people, even in the Lord, do not necessarily put into practice. For instance, this year I got a letter from, I forget her first name, Mrs. Worley. Is it Worley? Anybody remember? What is it? Yeah, Worley. Yeah, and she sent a letter and sent some money to the church, and she said, I learned to take the Bible seriously at your church. And so I wrote her a letter back and let her know that I appreciated her words. But I have seen that over and over again with different people because they have found out that it does make a difference to get into the Word of God. I always like to take this first service of the year to emphasize the importance of reading our Bibles. And of course, as I already mentioned, you don't have to read through your Bibles. But on the other hand, we want to know everything that's in the Bible. So if you don't systematically take some kind of effort to go through your Bible, then you're going to miss out on a lot. And that's why I appreciated what Jennifer had to say regarding that. Because whether it takes you 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, to actually go through your Bible, I think it's important. God did not write anything for us to be unread. He wants us to know what's in His Word. And I have found that there's some portions of the Bible that I have to labor through because, you know, I don't necessarily see sometimes the significance of the measurements of the pillar that's in the temple. But obviously, if you were the architect, if you were the builder, that would have been very important. But it's very fascinating when you have read through your Bible over and over again to find out that there is a sequence of scripture which talks about the tabernacle and Herod's temple and Solomon's temple and Herod's temple. And then we have the temple that's in the tribulation period. Then you have the millennial temple. And so God sees those things as important. And if He sees it as important, you know, we should try to at least find out why He thinks it's important. And so I would encourage you. Now, in this area of the Bible, so I want to talk about studying our Bibles this morning and how we should study our Bible, why we should study our Bible. And I have a book in my library. Actually, I have a later edition of it than the first one I bought. It's called Tools for Preaching and Teaching the Bible by Dr. Stuart Custer. And he has some things to say in there that I'm going to borrow from him that will help us to know the reason why we should study the Bible and how we should study the Bible. And I think this is very, very important. Study to show thyself approved. That's what the Apostle Paul has to say. And I hope that as a result of our time together, this morning that we will be more motivated to get into the Word of God ourselves. But let's pray and let's ask God's blessing on the service this morning. Our Lord, we thank you so very much for all that you teach us. Lord, as we come into your Word and we try to study it and we try to understand its importance, and as we systematically try to go through it, help us, Lord, to truly apply it to our lives so that we might, as it says here, to be workmen that need not to be ashamed because we have rightly divided the word of truth. Now, Lord, bless our time. Thank you for the folks that are here. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So not only do we have our group here, but of course there's people that are on the internet that will be following this message. And I hope it encourages them as well to get into the Word of God. Now, why study the Bible? And I could give you all kinds of reasons why I think we should study the Bible, but I want to give you God's reasons for why you should study the Bible. Let me give you several of these. If you notice, first of all, if you go over to the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to just do some turning in our Bibles this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter, I said 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, here is a verse of Scripture that we kind of talked about in principle last Sunday night when we were talking about being spiritual Christians. It tells us in chapter 2 of the book of 1 Peter, verse 2, as newborn babes, it tells us, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And one of the reasons why we want to study our Bibles is because it is spiritual food. It is food that will nourish us and help us and as you see here, to grow. And just like all babies naturally desire milk, the Scripture tells us that as Christians, we should desire the sincere or the genuine milk of the Word. And without daily food from God's Word, we will find ourselves in a critical condition. You know, if you don't eat, you know, I'm always trying to lose weight. And my wife, she said, "You starving yourself today?" And I said, "No, I'm not really trying to starve myself because it's not healthy to starve yourself. You know, you have to make sure you eat. Because if you don't eat, after about a week, you're going to find yourself being in a situation where it's going to hurt you." Well, biblically, that is true. If we do not get into the Word of God, we are not going to be healthy. Now, for instance, in Hebrews, and we won't need to turn there, but we could, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, talks about strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So, you know, so as a Christian, we are starting off as babies in Christ. You know, I mentioned, and I was teasing Ann there, and again, Ann knows me, I know Ann, so everybody could say, "I can't believe you said that." Well, she understands me. Don't you? Please understand me, Ann. You know, so, but you know, it's important that we understand that. The fact is that, you know, regardless of our age, if we accept Christ as our Savior, then that makes us a babe in Christ. And one of the first things that you must do is get into the Word of God. Now, obviously, as you are growing, because it talks about here growing thereby, as you are growing, you want to then get into some of the deeper things that are in the Word of God. And it's fun, really, to study things that are somewhat complex. And, you know, maybe you have to have a mind like mine, but I don't mind getting in and studying all the intricacies of some deep theology. Because of the fact that God has some things to say to us. But the fact is, when you first get saved, you need to learn how to be baptized. You know, there's some Christians that they get saved and they realize, "Well, I need to obey the Lord in baptism. Or I need to know the importance of going to church. Certainly the Scripture tells us that. We should be under the preaching of the Word of God. We should be consistent in our lives. And a new Christian needs to understand those things. They need to understand, yeah, I need to learn and read my Bible. When I first got saved, the preacher got up to preach, and I'd finally find the verse he started with, and then he'd say, go to this page. And I'm, what? You know, and I'm spending the next, by the time I get there, I forget it. And I remember I went to a youth rally as a young Christian. And the preacher got up, and for some reason it just struck me so funny. He says, how many of you brought your Bible? You know how youth preachers are. How I brought your Bible? And all the young people, oh, I got it. And he said, I went to a youth meeting, and he said, they didn't bring their Bible. It made my socks go up and down. That was so funny. You know, you had to have been a 16-year-old to appreciate that humor. But I thought, that is so funny. But you know what? There's something about his words that got my attention. I need to read my Bible. I told you it was until 1979 that I finally read through my Bible, but I did have to learn to read my Bible. Now, what's the problem, though? When some people, they read their Bible, and they're getting nourished by it, and then all of a sudden they just keep studying the same old things. They don't grow. And as a result of the fact they don't grow, they become, as we saw last Sunday night, they become carnal Christians. They are become fleshly. It's not healthy. So this is why we need to discover things in the Bible. It's spiritual food. If you turn your Bibles over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 26, it tells us here, chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and do what? So the Bible, it says here, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And so, why read the Bible? Why study the Bible? To gain spiritual cleansing. And because we get away from the Lord. And we sometimes get to the point where we start to wonder, okay, you know, why is it that I don't seem to have victory over sin in my life? And you somehow struggle with those things. Well, you get into the Word of God and you find out what is right, what is wrong, but you also learn how to correct that which is right and what is wrong. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So we get in there and we say, man, that cleanses me. I need to get into the Bible because I need to be clean. And obviously, if I do not take a bath, if I do not shower, then that can put off some terrible aromas. You ever notice that? I remember I went visiting with a guy many years ago. He had come to our church, and I said, let's go visit together. But, you know, how do I say this without not being unkind? He stank. He just had terrible body odor. And here I am visiting people. So I had to say to him, I said, now, let me ask you a question. Do you ever take a shower? You know, I mean, I had to talk to him because this was affecting things. And he said, yeah, I've had people tell me that before. You know, not surprising. And that because he didn't necessarily take care of himself. And it put off a terrible aroma. Now, let me just say something. A person who stays away from the Bible puts out a terrible aroma spiritually. And sometimes that can involve bitterness, and it can involve an attitude of complaining. And they can be someone who is not necessarily going to put off the right kind of testimony to others. And the Scripture tells us that, yeah, you can read your Bible and not get anything out of it. That's because you have not been cleansed by it. But if you get into the Word of God, it will cleanse you. The book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've already quoted it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're told in verse 16, the passage I talked about, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But notice verse 14. But continue thou, and this is what Paul tells Timothy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures. Now notice what that does. It says here, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Why do we study the Bible? Not only to cleanse ourselves, not only to feed ourselves, but we want to get into the Bible because we gain spiritual wisdom. And the Bible is the only book in the world that can impact divine wisdom. Now, wisdom is not just smart. I know people are smart, but they're very illiterate in wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to know how to use life, how to live your life. This is why Hebrews 5 tells us there that it's by reason of use that you are able to know discernment. Now, we need discernment, don't we? Man, we are in a day where there's all kinds of nonsense out there, and it's more accessible than it's ever been in my life. You know, I think someone asked Dr. Bob Jones III regarding what his thoughts were about some of these blogs and so forth, and he made the comment, he says, yeah, it's a combination of foolishness. You know, there's a lot of nonsense out there. And it sounds legitimate. But yet, the Scripture says, no, you don't need to be having a pool of foolishness or a lot of foolish words. You need to know the Bible. Because the Bible will give you wisdom. Now, I've been talking to Pastor Nathan. He's looking at maybe preaching some sermons through the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And it can be a great help to us. Why study the Bible? Because we want to be wise. Psalm 119, 105. I'm not going to turn there. Let me quote it to you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay. So in other words, what does a light do? It helps you to be able to see. I come in here sometimes to make sure lights are turned off or whatever. Or I need to come up here and get something in the pulpit and it's dark out. And so I come walking in these doors and there's not a whole lot of light around here. And so I'm trying to see. So what do? I flip on a light so I don't trip over a pew. Now, it gives guidance. The Bible gives guidance. And every Christian who faces forks in the road have to sometimes say, okay, what do I do? What do I say? How do I deal with this? You know, I asked Brother Pastor Nathan the other day about something, and he said, well, that's why I leave those decisions to the senior pastor. Remember saying that? Yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't have anyone to pass that buck to, you know. I need wisdom. You know, I'm trying to decide as I was trying to. This last week was very stressful for me because I'm thinking, okay, we need to do some kind of a stewardship emphasis. Number one, do we have a stewardship emphasis, and what do we use, and how do we go about doing it? So I just go to God, and I say, God, you got to give me wisdom. And God gives wisdom through His words. And we need guidance. We need to be able to know how to handle life. And of course, we need wisdom, but we need God to guide us through that. Romans chapter 10, let's go there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 10, a verse that probably you could have quoted to me, but it tells us this. So then, now don't look at it, and I want to see if you know it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what does the Bible do? What does the Bible do according to that verse? What is it? What comes as a result of it? Faith. We need faith. We need to just trust God. You know, that's very simple. I was listening to some of the lectures of my students by C.H. Spurgeon the other day, and he said, you know, sometimes people, you know, a preacher gets up and preaches about all the intricacies of some great theological debate, and he said, and you got this dear woman that's struggling with how to deal with her sick baby. And he said, you know, sometimes we need to realize that people really just need strength and they need faith to be able to live for the Lord. And the fact is, you may not care or care about all the intricacies of premillennialism and amillennialism postmillennialism and pre-rapture, post-rapture, mid-rapture, you know, and you say, well, I don't know if I even understand all of that, but Lord, help me to live life. Now, it's important, isn't it, that we have faith. And we say, man, I just don't know if I trust the Lord like I ought to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. How am I going to get that kind of trust? Well, you get it in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing as you hear the Word of God. Now, all of those other issues may be important, and they are important to some extent. But we do need to understand that, you know, how do I deal with my spouse? How do I deal with my children? How do I have wisdom and as to how to trust God for my mate that I am seeking? You know, what do I do? Well, the Scripture tells us, get into the Word of God, and God will give you faith. Now, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, here's an interesting passage of Scripture, and we've preached much on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us in verse 18, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now you have to look at this context because you'll see in verse 14 or verse 15 where it talks about Moses, verse 14, reading of the Old Testament, and you see there that there was a veil over them, which is done away with Christ. In verse 15, even unto this day when Moses is read. So he's speaking about the Word of God. And through Christ, verse 18, the Bible tells us that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So the point I'm making here is that the Scripture will help us be transformed into the image of Christ. We need to be like Christ. And God is the one who changes us. And as you read the Scriptures, and all of a sudden you begin to realize, you know, what they're saying in the media, that is so wrong. You know, and, you know, sometimes I'll read these, you know, some famous person like Aristotle or some famous wise sayings. He said, and I'll listen to that. That's not right. Because the Bible wants us to be thinking like Christ. Now, you'll never be like Christ ultimately, but we are being transformed into that image. So the Scripture tells us that we do need to be transformed. Also, if you look at chapter 4, if you continue that vein in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what happens when we see Christ? Now, remember we mentioned Wednesday night what to remember for this coming year. Remember we talked about, you know, all last year everybody saying, well, I remember this, and I remember this. Well, what did God tell us to remember? And the number one thing the Scripture tells us that we should remember in the New Testament, anybody remember what that was? The words of Christ. And that's a fascinating study. And that it really is telling us in the Scripture, remember the words of Christ. And when you do that, you will, it says, have light of the knowledge of that glory. So, in other words, the Scripture tells us that it will help us to gain knowledge. And this is not just mere information about God, but it talks about a fellowship with God. So that I might know God is what the Scripture says. And we don't simply want to gain information of God, about God. We want to be close to God. We want to know God. Because this is the word of... Can you help me here? The word of... Okay, it's certainly not the word of Byford. It's not the word of our Aristotle. It's the word of God. So how do we know what God thinks if we do not get into His Word? Another thing the Bible will do in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It tells us, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Okay, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. It's interesting, all Scripture contains that which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Now it tells us to impart that to others. And certainly a preacher ought to do that, but I believe every Christian ought to make it a point of their life to impart blessings to others in the Word of God. Now, when for the time you ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5 tells us, you have need for someone to teach you again. So it's not good to just keep information yourself. Share God's Word with others. You certainly, a mother wants to teach that to her children. You know, a spouse wants to communicate that to his spouse, right? We want to impart the Word of God to others. And by knowing the Word of God, we're able to do that. Have you ever wondered, you know, does the Bible really say that? You get into your Bible and you try to study that out and you say, yeah, it does say that. For instance, I remember when someone pointed out that Jesus is God. And I said, is He really? Now you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they'll tell you, oh, He's not God, He's just an exalted angel. And so I got into the Bible and I saw that in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God. We're told that under Thy throne, O God, is forever. Hebrews 1. And we see that He's equal with God, Philippians chapter 2. Now, as a result, someone says, is Jesus God? Well, He sure is. Let me show you. And to be able to impart that blessing to others. Everybody has, in the words of Dave John, talking about in Sunday school this morning, everybody has a what? An opinion. But you know what? I'm not interested so much in everybody's opinion. What I want to know is what God said. Now, let me just tell you something. I was reading an article the other day, just today actually. I was reading this article and he was saying that, you know what? The greatest theologian in the world doesn't have any more knowledge than you can have if you would just see what's in the book. So in other words, it's not like there's this mysterious information out there that you have to unlock the key. No, the fact is, we all have the same Bible. And so it's important that we understand that we can be more informed than our teachers, it tells us in Psalm 119. So it isn't so much that I'm trying to get up here and just say, oh, all of you need to know what I think. No, I'm saying, get in your Bible and look at this. It's right there. What does that say? You know how I do that. I'll be preaching and then I'll stop in the middle of the sentence and everybody's like, oh, what am I supposed to say? Where is he at? What's the verse? I say, look at that verse. I want you to see that. So, the Bible will impart blessing. You see, these were more noble, the Berean Christians, than those that were in Thessalonica. Why? Because they search the Scripture daily, whether those things were true. And you're in 2 Timothy, right? Look at verse 13. It says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." And basically, the parchments, according to Ryrie here, are these documents that probably were copies of portions of the Old Testament. Paul says, you know what? I'm in the midst of trouble. I'm in the midst of prison. I want the Bible. Now we have the Bible. Matter of fact, maybe I should ask you, and I won't ask this, but I could ask you, how many Bibles do you have? Now, that becomes a very impossible question to answer when you consider you can get on your computer and look up thousands of Bibles, millions of Bibles. I'm not talking about different Bibles, but I can be out in town and I think, what does that verse say? I pull up. On my telephone. Think about that. I have a telephone here somewhere. I had to make sure I turned it off. So I look at it. Oh, that's what that says. So my question again, how many Bibles do you have? It's not like Paul who had to research the Bible. Georgie Venz, the preacher from Russia, he came and visited Bob Jones University when I was a student. And I've told the story about how he was arrested in Russia and sent to prison because he was preaching. And as a result of that, he found himself in a prison cell with murderers, rapists, all kinds of thieves, different places, people who did terrible things. And he was in jail for preaching the Bible. So, he said that here he is, and he pulled out his little Bible, and these thieves and these prisoners said, "What are you reading?" And he said, "Well, actually, this is the book of Mark." He was so exhausted, he fell asleep. He woke up, and those criminals had read through the entire book of Mark. That was so precious to them. So the Bible gives us so many reasons why we should study it. Now, I've got 5 minutes to tell you how to do that. Okay? And the best thing I can say regarding that is you need to be very energetic. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And the scripture tells us that we need to be very, very energetic and be very purposeful in our study. If you go over to the book of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, it tells us here in verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life." And basically, the Bible tells us that we should search. The word search means to examine, it means to investigate, it means to trace out. It implies a diligent, systematic search. So we should not just say, "Oh, it's the Bible. Oh, yeah, I know what that says." No, we should search it out. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures. How often? Daily. The book of Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 tells us in verse 27. Now here are the two on the road to Emmaus. And the Scripture tells us in verse 27 that Jesus, in speaking to these two on the road to Emmaus, beginning at what? Okay, I want to make sure you got there. This is Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Now, the word expounded means he explained it. He interpreted it. He translated it. It implies some principles of interpretation. You know, there are some principles of interpretation that we don't have time to deal with. But one thing we have to understand, that whatever God says is so. It's not to be doubted, it's to be believed. Now, that's why we got to make sure we know what it says. So that's why we'll sometimes say, okay, look at this word. Notice how it's situated in the sentence, how it fits into the context, and all of these things. Now, the Scripture wants us to get into it and study it. And it tells us to do it with diligence. It's telling us to examine it, to expound on it, to understand it. So, in your Bible, this is what Dr. Custer recommends, and I recommend as well, that you need to study the Bible as a whole. You know, a text without a context is a pretext. Okay, you heard me say that. You've got to understand context. You know, what was it? A couple weeks ago, I was preaching and I said, okay, I'm going to go through the Old Testament. Remember I went through that? And I went through the fact of you had the beginning in Genesis and took you through and traced you through. Because it's important for us to have a sense of the whole counsel of God. And that's why it makes sense when you come to certain prophets, oh, it was in that time period. So you want to study the Bible as a whole. And even though we might be studying certain verses, certain words, we also want to understand our goal is to master the whole Bible. So it's good to pursue two methods, I believe. Number one, and you've heard me say this before, a rapid survey of your Bible. Now, let me just say, I said I've read through my Bible 43 times at least. Now, obviously, when you're preaching on passages and so forth, it's many, many more times. But when I say that, it's not like I'm doing a concentrated study on every verse in that day. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm just rapidly surveying that. And sometimes if my mind wanders, you know what I'll do? That's why I have a good study Bible. I'll say, okay, what was that about? And I want to catch a glimpse of the importance or the information that's in that passage. So you want to do that, have a rapid survey of the whole Bible and get a bird's eye view. Now, Custer said this, and I took this to heart. If a Christian hasn't read through the Bible 25 times, she should take steps to correct that. And then when you do that, don't stop. Okay, I've got to bring this to a close. The second method is not just a good rapid survey of the Bible, but concentrate on specific passages, analyzing every phrase and word in it. And you find out there's things such as the second coming of Christ and how to be a good husband and how to do this and how to do that and what the Bible says. You want to do a concentrated study on everything in the Bible. No stone unturned. And my answer to that is, yeah, right. Because the Bible is too big of a mountain to climb. So that's why you want to take advantage of every opportunity where there's a deep, concentrated study, whether it be your own, when the preacher is preaching. Like, I'm going through Ephesians chapters, I'm in chapter 2 now, very, very slowly. And it's exciting to me because I'm thinking, that's what that verse says, that's what that word means. And your goal is to supplement that survey that's going on all the time. And to get into the Word of God. And that's why you don't want to let any sermon be a bore to you. I can be boring. Sometimes I bore myself. One time I was preaching and I was sleeping. I was dreaming about preaching and I fell asleep during my own sermon. Now, that's pretty bad. I'm glad that wasn't real life. But I remember thinking, you know, as I was preaching in my dream, I woke up and I thought, what did I say? Now, I can bore you. But if you are understanding the fact that this is bigger than the sermon, this is the Bible. And it's really a wonderful truth. Sometimes after a sermon, someone said, you know, when you said such and such, and I'm thinking, I don't remember saying that. And you know what was happening? Sometimes the Holy Spirit took what was being preached and applied it into a different way. Now, it's important that you read the Bible through. And why would we read it over and over and over again? Well, we do that because we want to know the context, but we also want to do that because we're at different stages in our life. The needs I had as a 20-year-old is different than the needs I have in my 60s. And the Scripture can be applied to those. And so I can read the Bible over and over again and I know these same truths, but my situation in life is different. And another reason and another way to study the Bible is you just have so many tools. My wife was last night, she was doing the bulletin and PowerPoint which I haven't done much, but I sat and watched her for a little bit, and she said, now I got to type out this verse. And I said, well, you don't have to do that. So I took her to Blue Letter Bible, and I said, do that, highlight that, boom, there it is. What tools we have. And we can listen to some of the greatest sermons that have ever been preached. Get in, and you say, I don't know if I want to sit and read that. Well, get an audio book. The Bible, there's so many tools. We need to take advantage of those tools. And that's why you don't want to miss church. You know, that's why you don't want to just ignore the Scripture. I can't even imagine. I mean, this is my point in my life. I can't even imagine what it would be like to go a whole week without some input from the Bible. And you know what? People do it all the time. So why? Well, there's a lot of good reasons why. I don't have time to review those. How? Well, just get in there and pursue it and dig. Ask questions. Get people that you know that know the Bible. And I think it's wonderful opportunity for getting into the Word of God. I forget his name now, and I'm not going to try to recuperate it. But he came and preached a mission conference for us. He died a few years ago. I went to his funeral. And on the funeral brochure, he had something that he quoted all the time. And it's called My Old Bible. So I took that and I copied it. And it says this: though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide, 'tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens the mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine, for I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. I'm glad I don't have to get up and try to come up with stuff to say. You know, I am. When you've been doing it as long as I have, week after week after week, three times, four times a week, you say, what do you say? Well, this is why this is a church where the Bible is preached. Because the Bible has everything we need. So let me encourage you. Get into the Bible. Read it. I may not remember, Brother Joe, to get up and say, did you read this month? I probably should. I just don't always remember that. It's just a part of my life. I don't even think about it. And get into the Bible. Study it. To show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed, but rightly divide. We don't want to wrongly divide it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's stand together. Now, Lord, as we come before you, we come knowing that your word is true. And Father, there's so much we could say regarding the Bible, and it's been some time since we've done some kind of a series through it. But Lord, help us to be better. Lord, we want our faith to increase. We want to grow. We want to be clean. We want so much to be transformed to the image of Christ. And Father, help us to know you. Guide and direct us. Bless us. For Jesus' sake. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, as the pianist plays, maybe God is dealing with you and you say, I just want to come and pray at the altar. Maybe God has purposed in your heart that you'll get into His Word this year. More than you've done in the past. God's doing so. As the pianist plays, you can come for whatever reason. Know the chorus, sing it with me and pray as a prayer to God. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. Bless us now. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to not just read it and understand it, but help us to do it. And we ask that you'd work in our lives. Be with us today as we serve you, and may you get the honor and the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.